Justice for All, another biblical manifesto. And a manifesto is a statement of what you believe. The Communist Manifesto is the statement of what the communists believe. Read it. You need to know what it says, because it's happening now in this country. This is what God's word says about justice. God has two sides. One side is love, compassion, and mercy. And a lot of people get hung up right there. God would never bring justice for anyone. He has to. To be a fair, living God, he has to. Amen. He has two sides. One side is love, compassion, and mercy. The other side is justice. Everyone who has hurt you will be held accountable by God. He has to do that to be a loving, fair God. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. I'm going to answer a lot of your questions today. A lot of Christians and non-Christians have a lot of questions that will be answered by this short 2-hour message that's going to be preached in 30 minutes. God has promised to repay me for everything I have ever done wrong. Amen. But Jesus paid my debt on Calvary because he does not want anyone to perish. All I have to do is put my trust in him and repent. Amen. He holds everyone else accountable. You may be thinking, boy, I'm in big trouble. No, he died that you might be delivered from your old nature, as I taught last week, and be born again, become a new creation in Christ, and you no longer stand before God guilty. That answers some questions right there. God has promised to repay me for everything I have ever done wrong, but Jesus stood in my place and took my sins and rebellious acts, took them in his body, and died in my place. And by faith, I'm innocent before God. Matthew 18:12 says, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go and search for the one that is straying? God loves every person on the face of this earth. He is searching for lost sheep right now in this room, in this city, county, state, nation, and around the world. Verse 13, if it turns out that he finds it, the lost sheep, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 which have not gone astray. God loves sinners, and we should love them too, because that's exactly where we came from. And we do not classify sinners. We classify saints because of the blood being applied to our lives. You can call yourself anything you want to, but if you go around saying, I'm just an old sinner, you're probably going to wind up being just an old sinner. And you have a tendency to get what you confess. Verse 14, so it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Jesus says it very plainly right there. So it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. People have taught a doctrine that God has predestinated some people to hell. That says right there, that's a lie. Amen. It is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones perish. You can believe anything you want to believe, but I'm going to believe Jesus. Amen. You see, he's very plain and very clear. You don't have to interpret it. It's right there. This is what Jesus himself said. It is not God's will that anyone should perish. It's not his will. There's going to be a lot of people perishing already. A lot already have, but it wasn't his will. He died to keep that person or those people from perishing. But they have a choice. But an innocent man had to face God's vengeance in my place. And that man was Jesus Christ. I'm answering a lot of questions here from the Word of God. Or God is answering a lot of questions from his Word. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree or on the cross, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. There you have it. Peter said he took our sins in his own body, died in our place, that we might become the very righteousness of God. Is the sound very clear today? Does it sound good? Is it worth $96,000? Thank you, Jesus. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self by our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Yes, we're all guilty, but if our faith is in him, we are guiltless because of his blood. I do not face God's vengeance because Jesus faced it for me. He took the vengeance of God upon himself, and he was and is God. But somebody had to pay the price because God's a God of justice. That tells you right there how great a God of justice he is. In order to meet his own justice, his son died in our place that we might be justified and stand before God righteous as if we'd never sinned one time. Man, we are a miracle, the greatest miracle of all, just being born again. And the most of us don't even comprehend what a great miracle it really is. The living God took on flesh and bore my penalty in his own body that I might walk through free, But he holds all of us accountable for what we do if we do not repent and put our faith in his son. Well, he's a God of compassion. He is right now. On judgment day, no, he's going to be judged. He's a God of justice. Either you allow him to become your justice or you'll face justice. God is a God of love, but also a God of justice. He holds every one of us accountable for everything we've done wrong. And you have to remember that all sin is against human beings, against God through human beings. What is stealing, lying, murdering, adultery? It's all hurting people. And God says, if you hurt people, you're going to answer. Vengeance is mine, I'll repay. That's why I have to leave it alone, because he's going to take care of it. If he don't, he's a liar. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, why hasn't Jesus Christ come back? It's been 2,000 years. This says he's trying to get everybody saved. But time is running out. God is merciful, but time will eventually run out. Justice will come. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. The Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is a fearful thing to die without Jesus. It's so fearful I can't even think about it more than a second or two. Isaiah 59, verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear so dull that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you that he does not hear. I read this the other day. Now I want to read the rest of it. Verse 3. For your hands are defiled with blood. Look at the murder all over this nation. Seems like about every time you pick up a newspaper or look at your smartphone, some woman has been raped and murdered and the body thrown in the woods somewhere. All over America. And your fathers, for your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken falsehood. Your tongues mutter wickedness. Verse 4. Does that sound like America? No one sues righteously, and no one pleads honestly. They trust in confusion and speak lies. Evil people create confusion on purpose, especially the secular humanist Marxists in this country. They want to create all kind of confusion so we don't know who to trust and not to trust. They deliberately demonize good people to cause people not to trust them. Evil people create confusion on purpose. They don't want people to know the truth. He goes on to say here in the Word of God, they conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Verse 6, their works are works of iniquity, and an act of violence is in their hand. You see, they rape and murder innocent people, including murdering innocent babies in the womb. Verse 7, their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, devastation, and destruction, all in their highways. Devastation and destruction are in their highways. Verse 8, they do not know the way of peace. Look, Jesus bore all this iniquity in his own body and shed his blood so that we might stand before God without guilt. It doesn't matter how bad you are, how bad people are, Jesus Christ has provided for every one of us, but we must repent and put our faith in him today. Our judgment will come, and it's coming to America, and it's coming to every one of these wicked people if they do not repent. I'm just reading the Word of God. You can do like most people, just doubt it and not believe it. But I believe it, and I've witnessed it over these many, many, many years. And I'm telling you, God keeps his word to the letter. Not one dot or tittle will pass from the Word of God. Every dot, every tittle. All men are without excuse because Jesus has provided everything we need to live life and live godly. All excuses are gone. When a person rejects Jesus, they are choosing to face the vengeance of God. This is where America is right now. Most people are totally rejecting Jesus Christ, totally rejecting the gospel. And the church all over America is slowly dying. People are not going to church. They're living like devils. They've bought into secular humanism, whatever's right for you, whatever feels good. There are no absolutes. The Ten Commandments are irrelevant. On Judgment Day, everyone's going to find out that's wrong. It's going to be too late, though. All I have to do is read the Bible to keep myself out of trouble. The Bible says that the watchman does not warn the people. The wicked will perish in their way, and the watchman will have, he'll have their blood on his hands. This watchman is not going to have any blood on his hands. I'm going to read it like it is. A lot of preachers all this country are going to have blood on their hands because they will not get in the pulpit and read the Bible. You can't just read your favorite parts. I've already done my favorite part when I pray for the sick. Okay. Now I got to do God's work. All of it. Rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ brings the judgment of God. And that's what it is, rejecting Jesus Christ. It's not your sins, it's rejecting Jesus and not giving him an opportunity to forgive your sins and cleanse you by his blood from all unrighteousness. I said you, but I mean people in general. A professor from UT came to this church for a while, and he had another ministry he said he was going to. But he came here a few Sundays, and I talked to him a little while, and he said, professor from UT. He said, many professors, university professors, teach there is no God, no absolutes, no right or wrong, because they want to live ungodly lives. And they don't want to take guilt. So they just deny it all. But before God, the guilt's still there. Amen. John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So this is what Jesus said himself. Once again, and this is the condemnation, that light, Jesus Christ, is come into the world. I've come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. That's where we are right now. People love their wickedness, even though it's destroying them, even in this life. because their deeds are evil. This is what Jesus said. Verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. That's what the head guy said, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's God himself. He said, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. That's why people get so mad when a preacher like me preaches about sin. They get so mad they want to kill you because they don't want their sins exposed to the light. Turn that light off. I want freedom from religion. I don't want people preaching the truth to me. I want to go to hell in ignorance. That's what they're saying. Many people choose this lifestyle and will not change. Romans chapter 1 verse 19, because that which is known about God is evident within them. Every man deep inside knows there's a God. Every man has a measure of faith, a measure of a no-so inside. Doesn't mean they're saved. It means God has put something there that's telling them I'm real. Pay attention. Romans chapter 1 verse 19, because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. Everyone, according to this, has an evidence in them that God is real. Secular humanists have rejected the light because they love darkness. They don't want this message. They love darkness, but inside they know better. If a person goes to hell, it is because they choose to reject God and his son. That answers a question right there. Why, how could God send anyone to hell? He doesn't. He died on the cross to keep you out of hell. If a person chooses to go to hell, that's their choice. His choice was to die on the cross that you might have a way out. Don't blame God for what we do. Every man has a measure of faith or an inner evidence. We knew an atheist whose wife attended this church. He came to church a few times and he hated me. He literally stood in the back of the church and tried just to stare me down. But I don't get stared down. I'm going to preach the truth. If hell freezes over, I'm going to keep right on preaching. Can you say amen? Because I got to keep myself out of trouble. He hated me. Later, he was in a bar, depressed because his business was failing. Very discouraged. He said, God, why don't you do something? Now, that's a typical atheist. He believed in God way down deep. He just was denying it. But when he's in trouble, he's calling on God. God said in an audible voice in a bar. How many knew God goes to bars? When you go to a bar, God is there. He knows you're there. Can you say amen? I've never been shot in a bar because I've never been in a bar. God said in an audible voice, what do you want me to do? He decided it was time to talk to the preacher. So he called it, man, a woman talked to me. He says, preacher, I think I'm losing my mind. And he told me what happened. I said, you're not losing your mind. No, you're not losing your mind. God just spoke to you. Every man is without excuse because there is a witness inside. Why would an atheist talk to God? Because down deep, he knows God's real. There's a measure of faith, a substance, evidence, something in him that testifies to the fact that God is alive. You see, there's an inner witness leading us to repentance. And you didn't come to Jesus just because you got smart. It was the Holy Spirit touching that already revelation in you and drawing you to Jesus Christ, and you finally gave in to it, but he brought you in. In some cases, yelling and screaming, but he drug you in anyway, and you finally accepted it. None of us got smart and came to Jesus. It was all the work of the Holy Spirit drawing us. We're just some of the sheep he was seeking to save. We just responded. You see, this man repented and accepted Jesus Christ and became my best friend. I had him to come to my office. And I took that class I teach. Now, this is way back before this new edition was put on. I had him to come to my office, and I taught him from my class in person. And he became a great man of God. Do not be deceived. God's got your number, and you need to respond to it. It is not God's will that anyone perish. God sought this man out in a bar. Where will he find you? Or where did he find you? You see, when people continue to rebel against God and his word, God will hold them accountable. We can say, oh, he's a God of compassion. He's not going to do that. But the Bible says he's going to do it. Luke chapter 13, verse 6. As a matter of fact, he's doing it right now. He brings justice to people sometimes in midlife, and he takes them out. Sometimes he allows the devil to do wicked, horrible things to them in order to bring them to repentance. You pay for your sin in this life and the next. If you hop in bed with somebody and get AIDS, you did it, not God. And you're going to suffer from it, but if you repent, come to God, he might just heal you. Luke 13, 6, he also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of the vineyard, he said, look, for 3 years I've been coming expecting fruit, and I have not found any. Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this tree and find none. Cut the thing down. Why does that use up the ground? If we're not going to do anything for God, why would he allow us to keep using up the ground? When a person continues to refuse to serve God, God will give up eventually. Judgment day will come. Cut it down. And sometimes it's like, well, why did that young man die at 20 years old? Well, if a young man at 20 years old has totally rejected God, he will not accept God, God might just cut him down. I'm just reading the Bible. I know people have their own ideas, but the only ideas I want on Judgment Day is this book I'm reading from, the Bible. Romans chapter 2, verse 3. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them, and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? We cannot preach against sin and do the same thing. The secular humanists and Marxists condemn evil people who owned slaves about 170 years ago, but today promote the murder of unborn innocent babies. Those guys lived 170 years ago, they're guilty, but these people are just as guilty because both is wrong in the eyes of God. Slavery is wrong. Murdering babies is wrong. You say, well, abortion is not murder. Well, you're everything right now you were when you're in your mother's womb. If she had terminated you then, you wouldn't be here today. You were fully human then. You're fully human now. And these people promote abortion in order to cover their sexual sins. They have to have that sin. That's why you have such political turmoil in this country right now. People are scared to death. They're going to lose the right to kill their unborn baby. That's what it's all about. That's the number one thing that the secular humanist Marxists are fighting for right now. They want to be sure they don't lose the right to kill that baby to cover up their sin. It's really great knowing you're right. Both are wicked before God, but they condemn people for doing things, and they're doing things just as bad. Secular humanist Marxists all over America right now. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. They'd condemn me for preaching this and then go out and abort babies. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Do you know contempt for the riches? Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness? tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance. In other words, God's kindness is not approval of our sin. He's given us time to repent. God was kind and patient toward my atheist friend and brought him to salvation. I could not have done what God did. God walked right in the bar and said, "What do you want me to do?" Audibly. He's never spoken to me audibly. But he was seeking to save the lost, and he got this guy. Verse 5, "But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourselves for the day of judgment, when his righteous judgment will be revealed." He says, because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, because you will not repent, put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're storing up wrath. Every rebel that continues to rebel against God is storing up wrath against, it says, against yourself for the day of God's wrath. You're laying up wrath for yourself by your rebellion. You see, when his righteous judgment will be revealed, you will have laid up wrath for yourself. You missed. You having fun back there, David? God will give to each person according to what he's done. Verse 6, God will give to each person according to what he's done. Now, don't ever allow something I preach give the devil a reason to put condemnation on you. Doesn't matter what you've done. If you repented of it, it's no more. There's no wrath laid up against you because you repented. He said, "Well, you don't know what I did yesterday. Well, repent right now." 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just." Say faithful and just. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the devil wants to put condemnation on you so you feel like a dirty old sinner, even though you're not. 7, to those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth, are you rejecting the truth today? If you are, you need to repent of it. But if you're not, you're okay. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth about Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sin, who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. He's been patient right now. Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience? Right now, we are experiencing the kindness, tolerance, and patience, but on that day, it's going to be wrath and anger. It's too late. On that judgment day, it's too late to repent. Got to do it before then. God will give to each person according to what he has done. God is fair, just, and patient, but sinners can store up wrath for themselves. They did it, not God. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We're going to give account to God for the good things and the bad things. Can you say amen? Hopefully I've done 3 or 4 good things. We will all be held accountable by the judge, which will be Jesus Christ. Matthew 12:36, but I say to you that for every idle, careless word men may speak, they will give an account of it on judgment day. So if things are not right, we need to make them right today. We need to stay prayed up daily. Jesus says we are responsible for what we say and do. Acts 10:42. And you know, the second human said, "Well, don't worry about it. There's no accountability. There's no God. Do anything you want to do. Live any way you want to live." God says, not so. Believe what you want to believe, but on judgment day, you're going to be terribly disappointed. Acts 10:42, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he, Jesus Christ, is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and dead. That's what I'm supposed to preach. He commanded us to preach to the people, to you and everyone that can hear my voice, to testify that he is the one, Jesus Christ, whom God has appointed as judge of the living and the dead. And that's what I'm preaching to keep myself out of trouble. You can believe anything you want to believe. When I get through preaching, I'm just going to go to lunch. What you do is your business. But me speaking the truth is what I'm called to do. I don't have any choice. Today he is Savior. Tomorrow he's judge. But we all can stand justified before God by faith in Jesus Christ without a worry in the world. Matthew 25, verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and Jesus is preaching this one too. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Verse 34, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom. Verse 41, then he will say to those on the left hand, those who rejected Jesus Christ, it's not about being perfect. It's about accepting him and living for him by faith. And when you mess up, you confess it as a mess up and he forgives you. You keep right on going. Can you say amen? Amen. It's not about being perfect. It's about living by faith in Jesus Christ. Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. What if you believe about that? It's not going to be fun. Verse 46, and these will go away into everlasting punishment. Jesus said that. And you can discount that and pretend you don't believe it, but you'll believe it on Judgment Day. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Everyone without exception will stand in judgment before the judge, before Jesus Christ, and will give an account for everything they have done, good and bad. Remember, he said, he paid the price for your sin. You don't have to stand before him guilty, having stored up wrath. You can be rid of it by confessing it right now and asking him to forgive you. He paid the price for sins, and all we have to do is repent and put our faith in Jesus Christ. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us. You say we will give an account to God for everything we've done, both good and bad. God is a God of justice, and justice calls for the punishment of evil people. But when you repent and your sins are blotted out, you're not guilty. Amen. This is why he sent Jesus to take our punishment so we could be set free. If we confess our sins and put our faith in Jesus Christ, he will save us from wrath and anger. Let's stand.